Cardinals Corner from Arizona Sports.
Cardinals Corner from Arizona Sports with Tyler Drake and Lauren Koval.
We were officially inside of the two-week mark for the 2024 NFL Draft. What's going on, everybody? Tyler Drake and Lauren Koval here with Cardinals Corner. And no, we are not going to dive into Arizona Cardinals' triumphant win at the Topham Handicap Chase in Liverpool, England. Shout out to the horse. But we are going to dive into the NFL Draft. And this time around, we're talking trade packages. That might scare some of you out there. I know a lot of people want Marvin Harrison Jr. to be the guy, but if they have to go that route, and if general manager Monty Osfort wants to wheel and deal again, what kind of trade packages are we going to see or potentially see? Who knows?
Few teams on the trading block for the Cardinals. Two that come to mind right away that I think we have to talk about are the Minnesota Vikings and the Denver Broncos.
Okay.
I know that you have some ideas on what the Cardinals could be looking for out of these two teams. They're two teams both in need of a quarterback and need to trade up, especially with this very QB-heavy draft. There's a lot of options, but it seems like the top of the pack is the best option. And as soon as you get out of that top 10, top 8 range, it starts to fall off a little bit for them.
Yeah. So the teams, Denver Broncos, Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings obviously are at number 11, I believe. The Broncos are at number 12. So I think we've all come to the agreement. Three first round picks is probably the starting asking price for Monty.
The only way you're moving off for is for three.
Exactly. You got to think franchise quarterback. They're going to want to come up. You pay more for the prospects making that kind of trade. It's got to be three first round picks. That's got to be what it is to begin with. If not, I think you hang up the phone and you take the pick at four. That's 100% what I think. So with that, we're going to take that three first round, I guess, asking price with the Vikings. Vikings luckily have two first round picks this year, though, which could increase the odds a little bit. So they've got 11 and number 23. Package those along with the 2025 first rounder. There you go. You meet those three first round picks. Move over to Denver. Number 12 pick. Then you've got to go into the future a little bit with a 2025 first rounder, 2026 first rounder. That's more of a long-term project, whereas I feel like the Vikings would be more short-term. If you had to pick which one of those, which one of those would you like?
The Vikings interest me more because it's immediate. Mm-hmm. And as a fan, I think, as a fan of the Cardinals, you want to see them make immediate improvements. And this is also a team where you're building around Kyler. You're building around some youth. Some young guys on your team happen to be the most talented guys on your team. Trey McBride immediately comes to mind. You're also aging out of some positions. You're aging out at running back a little bit with James Conner. You also know there's some more glaring issues on this team that come to mind that you need to focus on immediately. Cornerback comes to mind for me. So with the immediate turnaround that you can have taking that Vikings trade, also, they're going to be really hungry to make that move this year. Yeah. Move up. The Cardinals are a team who can afford to, in sort of that first five or six, move out. I'm not saying I want to do that, but if they come with that package that you just named off, I think you have to take it.
Ooh, it's tough. I guess this is the other thing, because I've seen a lot of people talk about Justin Jefferson being maybe a part of a trade. Would that sweeten the deal, or would that worsen the deal for you? If maybe you took out one of those first rounders and threw in Justin Jefferson.
Worsen the deal?
Yep.
But I feel like that might be a little controversial. I feel like people don't necessarily agree with that, but that worsens the deal a little bit for me. His time at the Vikings has been on the field fantastic, off the field a little iffy, just because of his relationship with Kirk Cousins, how much he backed him. Mm-hmm. The Vikings decided to move on from him, send him to Atlanta. You don't know exactly where Justin Jefferson's headspace is right now, and sending him into a Cardinals locker room, which we've discussed many times on this pod, has been a roller coaster ride over the last few years. I think that Jonathan Gannon would nail him down and make him fit as a wide receiver one on this team, but he worsens the deal for me a little bit.
Yeah, and I think for me it comes down to how much they would have to pay him. That's where I'm looking at. Because you're getting a wide receiver out of this draft, and you're going to be paying him a rookie deal for the next 4 years, 5 years. So that's where my head's at. I think, yeah, I'm exactly there with you. Justin Jefferson worsens the deal if he gets thrown into the equation. Jordan Addison would be a little more, maybe, but still, I just don't think you can do that. The Broncos, the only thing that I would say with that, the one caveat is you got to think the Vikings are an NFC. That could come back and get you at the end of the day. Who knows? J.J. McCarthy, if that's who they really feel like they can get, who can move the needle, you don't want to have a repeat of what happened last year with the Texans. Do I think J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings, if that were to happen, I don't think it's the same. I don't think lightning's going to strike twice there. But at the same time, you've got to have that in the back of your head of thinking like this could be another repeat. And obviously, Cardinals still got a first round pick. They can still use that to really help the roster. But we were thinking it could be a top five pick and it's 27. So that's something you definitely got to think about. And I think the Broncos are worse off than the Vikings right now. I think the Vikings are a couple players away from really turning things around, where the Broncos, I have no belief that they're going to turn things around.
No, the Vikings they've strung together a series of pretty decent, you know, seasons where you look and you go, if maybe they'd had this, it would have worked out for them. I immediately think of that playoff game a few years ago where I'm like, okay, if you flipped a coin a little bit different, things would have turned out better for them.
No kidding.
The Broncos went all in on the Russell Wilson experience, which at the time, I'll say when that went down, I went, yeah, great.
Yeah.
That's going to work out perfectly for them. They know exactly what they're doing. Now, looking back on it, obviously a huge mistake. Did not turn out well at all. He's now sent off to the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll see what he can do there. The Broncos are paying for about 98% of his contract over at the Steelers. I believe the Steelers are giving him about $2 million.
Yeah. I mean, why not?
No.
If you're the Steelers, cool.
And you need a quarterback and you're going to sit and sort of wait it out. I know they went out and got Justin Fields this season. Mm-hmm. So you're having a little bit of a QB competition.
Do you think Russell's going to be the starter, or do you think Justin's going to do it?
I think Russell will be the starter until about week six.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. But all of that being said, just proves how many different faults the Broncos have and how much they need to figure out. So if I'm even the Broncos, I want to hold on to as many picks as I can and trade, giving away sort of the least amount of equity, if you will, and still getting a bunch of young talent.
What about like Patrick Surtain if he was involved?
Yes.
That would be interesting.
Yes.
I'd be intrigued. You'd get your CB1.
He intrigues me as part of a trade package more than a Jordan Addison or a Justin Jefferson would.
You trade 12, 2025 first, and Surtain.
I consider it.
That would be interesting.
I consider it.
I would consider it, but wide receiver is still not figured out.
Yeah.
That's.
And the top three have seemed to separate themselves from everybody else so dramatically that if you could trade out of four and make sure that you came back up.
Before we get there, give me your ideal first round, your Monty Austin for it. Tell me what you're doing.
I'm staying at four. I'm taking MHJ. I'm taking 27 and some of the other capital that I have later on in this draft, like the 2 second round picks.
35. I think 35.
27, 35. Yeah. And trying to trade back up to get somebody else that I like if I haven't accepted a trade package for four.
Yeah, that's I think it was Clancy's Corner, our buddy over at Locked On Cards. I think it was trading down, getting enough picks to come back up and still get Marvin. That would be crazy. That would be, and I'm not putting it past Monty to pull something off like that, but I like that move. I think that's my go-to move if I'm Monty. I'm staying at four. I'm getting Marvin. I'm getting my franchise wide receiver, the cornerstone of that offense. And then I'm turning around and I'm packaging 27 and 35 into something, come up multiple spots, try to get back into the teens, land somebody there. You get a defender or something like that, edge guy, cornerback, call it good there, and then you use the rest of those picks and fill out where you need, where all those other holes are. That's, I think, what I would go for if I'm Monty. I think that would just, it would check the box of Marvin, check the box of getting another potential starting caliber dude right off the bat, and then you go about filling those other needs.
And we know that Monty likes to sort of wheel and deal on draft night and figure out what's going on. He did it with Paris. They trade down, they trade back up to get him. Let's say that, yeah, let's throw this as a question to you. I'm intrigued what you have to say about this. Let's say you trade with the Vikings.
Okay.
And you give them four. How far do you think you can move down the board and still get Emmett Shea?
Five.
Okay.
Number five.
Okay.
Chargers are going to take him if he's there. I 100% believe that. So you've got to come back up and offer the Chargers now a ton because you both want the same guy. And you both know that you want the same guy.
That's the thing. You both know that you need to build your wide receiver core. You both know MHJ is first on your board. So five. Okay.
So that would be that's where it could get really sticky and really interesting if the Chargers say, hey, we want a similar deal to what the Vikings just gave you. Like, I don't think they're doing that.
No, that's too much to give up. I know the Cardinals have an excessive amount of draft capital this year and picks and whatnot, but you need those.
Yeah.
You need to hold on to some of them. You can trade them to stick with one guy, but I also think this only further backs up they should stay at four.
Yeah, and I don't think the Cardinals are as far away as people think. They went out free agency. We'll get into this next week. We'll talk more about the needs they still have positionally, but they went out, added positional guys, free agents who can fill these needs, who can be starters. They got to hit on a couple of these first round draft picks now to really just speed up the timeline. We talked to Monty not too long ago, and he said they're on to phase two of this. Phase two, I think, is now making yourself competitive enough to at least fight for a wild card spot. I think if Kyler's healthy last year, it could have been closer. I don't think they make the wild card still, but it would have been closer. This time around, what we saw those last four games, the run offense on top of just the offense as a whole under Kyler, the next step is trying to break into a wild card team. So you've got to attack now while also still trying to get pieces for later. But I think right now you've got to get Marvin. You've got to get another defender in that first round to really just speed up the timeline.
And another reason that you need to hit so early on those guys in the first round of the draft and even at 35 for the Cardinals is because we know the Cardinals like to play rookies. They did it last year, half because they were forced to because of injuries and
talent.
They needed to move people in. Other half, I mean, Michael Wilson got thrown out there. Yeah, was he injured? But they needed him.
Yeah.
They needed another wide receiver.
And when he was healthy, he performed.
Exactly.
Yep.
And so we know that when you're drafted, especially first round, early second round, like they have, the expectation, I bet, for the Cardinals is you're out there day one. Go show us what you can do.
And if Marvin's plan is to prepare for the rookie season and not for his NFL draft combine or pro day, whatever it is, he's coming in day one ready. You can't ask for much more. As Gannon always says, they pay for the price of admission, and that's exactly the kind of mindset, mentality that Arizona wants. For sure, 100%. But sticking with the trade packages, I wanted to give a couple people a shout out for hitting us up on social media, and they gave us their trade packages. So a couple of them stood out. Here's one, and the Jordan Addison one actually brought up in this one. Minnesota from Corbin Barrels, great name. Minnesota sends 11-23 Addison and a 2025 second. He gave Denver too. Denver a 12. 2025 first, Surtain, and maybe an extra mid-round pick, and then the Giants, which we didn't talk about them, or the Raiders too. Dark horses for sure. 6 and 2025 first. That's not bad. That wouldn't be bad. I still think you don't get Marvin though if you're at 6.
No. And then I think as the Cardinals, you have to decide how big a drop-off do you think there is from Marvin to neighbors to Rome? Like, where is the fall-off for you?
If I'm Monty, I'm going Marvin, Rome, Malik.
Okay.
I think that's where I'm at.
Okay.
Rome gives you a little bit of a bigger dude than Malik. If you've got to go that way, I think it's Rome.
He gives you a little bit more of
physicality.
Surefire hands, too. A little bit more of a consistent presence. You don't have as much of that downfield.
Yeah, that's the thing, yep.
Option, which is something that we've talked about, that the Cardinals just don't open it up for the big play.
Yeah.
They just don't do it.
But I think they need the type of personnel to do that. That's the thing.
I agree.
Yeah. Yep. And you know, Hollywood's not here anymore. And I think they need somebody big. 6'3", tall.
All right, I'll buy in. I'll buy in. You've convinced me. I'll buy in.
All right, a couple other ones. Shownuff7 says, none. I want MHJ. And I think that's where we're all at right now.
I think that's kind of the consensus.
At least we're at.
Yeah, but I also think that's sort of the consensus of the fan base is you know it for that MHJ is going to be there and that you have the option to take him. Why are we
even talking about it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, then we wouldn't have this podcast.
True. JD, 8 first round picks. I think that's a good price.
I like that option. I like no team attached to it. Just 8 first round picks.
Oh, then we've got Blingo Blue Flamer, 3 firsts and Jettis. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be a lot. And that'd be a lot of cap space you'd have to give up paying Justin Jefferson.
Exactly.
Yeah. Jake Trek said either 11, 23, 25 first and third from Vikings or 12, 2025 first and Surtain from the Broncos. Another one, same thing. And one more from K2. Big shout out to K2, big follower.
Mm-hmm.
Denver, Surtain, 2024 first, 2025 first.
I take that.
That's not bad.
I take that.
That's not bad. And if you fill a need, you can still maneuver those other first round picks to potentially come back up and get a wide receiver. I think I might be leaning more that now.
I like
if I'm not getting Marvin.
I like the players that the Broncos could possibly attach the deal more than who the Vikings could possibly attach to the deal. Mm-hmm. I like the immediacy of the Vikings trade a little bit more, assuming that they put together some sort of package like this.
Yeah.
I like the immediacy of that a little bit more than I like with the Broncos, because especially all of the player meetings that the Cardinals have been having over the past few weeks, they have a few, you know, that stand out above the rest. I mean, we even know, as a fan base, they're very transparent of, here's who we're interested in, here's who we had good meetings with. I'm more intrigued by the players of the Broncos, but I like the immediacy of a trade package with Minnesota more.
Okay. Well, that was a lot to chew on. So if you guys have your trade packages, you haven't sent them our way, make sure you do. AZ Cards Corner on X. Follow us on all the social medias. I'm Tyler Drake. That's Lauren Colville. This is Cardinals Corner. We'll see you next time.